from the 916. I think Monty gave us cryptic insight on the Siakam situation. He said the Kings want players that want to be here. Pascal said he didn't want to be here. That's the reason why they didn't trade for him, in my opinion. Mm. Anyway, fair enough.
Well, to the true. I mean, Pascal's now got the whole city of Indiana on his back, so
also
I hope he's happy with that.
Going to probably be signing a Supermax, I think, is what they were saying.
They got no option now because he's the only one playing for him.
And I think
Tyrese is falling off a cliff.
As a
he played well in the second game.
As a soon-to-be 30-year-old myself, giving that kind of money to someone who's past 30 is very scary.
My God, you're old.
I know. I'm up there.
Holy.
I'm almost Alan's age.
Well. You're still actually not close. We're joined by Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes. Guys, before you answer the question, do you think, not that we're mind readers here, but whether or not Monty really meant it when he said he does not regret making any moves at the trade deadline. I do want to read this off for context for some of the listeners as we bring up who had to give up what. So one thing that we continue to hear about, and Chris, you have some as well, I'll throw to you. But the first one that I had was this PJ Washington and Gafford. Okay. So what the Mavs had to give up to get PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford. Okay, so for PJ Washington, the Mavs received PJ Washington, a 2024 second round pick, a 2028 second round pick, and the Hornets received Grant Williams, who the Mavs had just signed, Seth Curry, and a 2027 first round pick. For the Mavs to get Daniel Gafford, Washington received Rashawn Holmes and a 2024 first round pick from the Mavericks. That first round pick will either be via the Oklahoma City Thunder, second least favorable pick of their three picks. So basically, to get PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford, the Mavs had to give up Grant Williams, Seth Curry, a 2027 first round pick, Rashawn Holmes, and a 2024 first round pick. That's a lot.
And they've been really bad in the playoffs, actually. It's only been two games. They were really big in the regular season to the end of their year. And, you know, maybe it's one of those role players will play better at home sort of things when it comes to the postseason. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think they would have been beneficial to Sacramento. But do they really change your ceiling? Mm-hmm. You know, I do think they would have helped. The depth is for sure beneficial. It's just I don't know that that's taking you to the next round of the postseason, you know, or I guess in this case to the postseason.
Right.
Especially if the injuries that happen still happen, you know, if Malik and Kevin, assuming Kevin was still on the Kings past that deadline, I don't think it really changes much about their ceiling as well. I think that as far as fit goes, I think both those guys would have helped out for sure. I think Gafford maybe more so in my opinion, but you know, if Malik gets hurt and goes down, like it doesn't change the fact that the Kings had no, you know, secondary initiator on offense, secondary volume score like Malik can be. It still changes to me. That changed the ceiling more to me than a lapse of making moves at the deadline.
I think the Kings need to make their Kyrie trade rather than their Gafford PJ mm-hmm. Washington trade.
Right. Yeah. Or Gobert. Whoever, their all in trade is what they need to do. And yeah, I mean, I've got some other trades too. Please chime in if you think any of these are worth it from the Kings' perspective. So the Knicks got Bojan Bogdanovic, who is a really good bench piece and is somebody who I think people thought could impact things here in Sacramento. The Knicks got Bojan and Alec Burks for Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, Quentin Grimes, Ryan Arcidiacono, two future second-round picks. So I would guess the thing that the Knicks really gave up there, Evan Fournier, who wasn't playing a lot for them at all, but had a big contract, and Quentin Grimes, who is truly somebody that they liked a lot. Mm-hmm. Like maybe, I don't know if you would put him in the Keon Ellis tier, but it's somewhere near there in terms of how the Knicks probably viewed that asset. So are you willing to part with an actual asset and two future first for a bench guy? Not sure. There's the Raptors, who traded for Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Okbaji. They got rid of Otto Porter, who hasn't done much for them. Kira Lewis, who I would probably put more in like a, I think Davion Mitchell probably still has more value than Kira Lewis.
Are
we talking maybe Chris Duarte value? Maybe Kessler Edwards might be too low.
Yeah,
but
like Duarte.
Kira Lewis, Otto Porter, and a 2024 first round pick. A first round pick for a guy like Kelly Olynyk. The Raptors, when they got Bruce Brown, Nuora, Kira Lewis, two first-round picks for Pascal Siakam and a future second. So in order to get a guy like Pascal, they had to get rid of a major contributor, like somebody who's in their top six of rotation, Jordan Nuora, who's a fringe role player, Kira Lewis, fringe, two first-round picks, actually three first-round picks. There's a conditional 2026 first round, which I think has to do with how much he plays or how many points he scores. And then the last one was the OG trade, which was OG, Malachi Flynn, and Precious for RJ Barrett, Quickly, and two second-round picks. Of course, RJ, top three pick, Emmanuel Quickly, at the time was second in sixth man of the year behind Malik Monk. So that's pretty much saying trading Keegan Murray and Malik Monk plus a second round pick for OG Anunoby. Do any of those sound like you'd maybe consider, or are all of those pretty much I'm fine with the way that we did?
That Knicks one doesn't seem that seems the most even, I would say.
I would say so.
Yeah, I think so. I think anything with Keegan, though, like in retrospect, instilled to me is a non-starter. So I think that if Keegan was the contingent, if that was a contingency on making the OG Anunoby deal, I can sleep fine without that. But I think that if there's another way to get that done, whether it be multiple firsts or other players, would have been okay with it. I think that the Siakam trade was reportedly going to be, Kevin, HB, and two firsts, I think, was the offer.
I think something like that. There was also reporting that they wanted Malik, and that maybe that was a holdup. And how do we feel about that now?
And also the fact that he wasn't going to sign here. I think that would have been catastrophic.
Sure.
It would be catastrophic if they weren't up front saying they don't want to stay in Sacramento, which I think is a bummer that, one of the top talents doesn't want to come stay here, but nothing that the Kings aren't used to. So I think that it was better off that they waited because that they still have the flexibility. And I think that as far as draft capital goes, I was a little confused by yesterday. I'm not sure if you guys took anything from that differently.
It was strange.
Monty made it sound like they have all the flexibility that they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that's possible.
Yeah, it was strange.
But I'm not sure if you got any clarity on that, Brendan, or not.
But I'm still getting more into it, I guess. But I'm curious if they could. Yeah, I won't speculate too much, but I do think that they have their draft pick that they could trade at the time of the draft, and they do have future ones that go out. They have two more years of protections with Atlanta. It's top 12 next year, top 10 the year after, and then it would go to two second-rounders. So if you go, this is 24, 25, 26, you could trade your 28, swap 29, trade 30, and swap 31, for example. I think that you can go that far out,
right,
if I have those numbers right in my head. It's 7 years in advance, I believe.
It's right, 2024.
That you can go out.
I mean, it sounds like it's far in the future, but I mean, I guess if you can trade those, it makes sense. But he made it sound like we have all the flexibility we need, when I think a lot of us are kind of looking at it like Kings missed the playoffs, now they have their pick. Like, this is really going to inhabit what they can do. No, I mean, he's just kind of like, well, we can move these picks if we want. So
I did think he was a little, I don't know, like saying we only owe Atlanta one pick. Like, sure, that's true, but it's locked up.
Yeah.
It's locked up.
Yeah.
And maybe that means that they feel like they could get rid of those restrictions when they want.
He did also mention, I think you actually brought it to our attention yesterday too, but I listened back and he definitely did mention and fully say you can trade into the mid-level exception, which is not, he said now you can trade into, which I believe has something to do with how the CBA was signed last offseason. And I guess they gave them a year to kind of figure out the finances, and now that's a new wrinkle in the CBA that I don't know exactly how it works. I don't know if you've done any more digging, but it sounds like it's pretty deep in the weeds of the CBA. But apparently you can now use that $12.9 million that we've been speculating you can throw at random free agents. Monty seemed to imply that there's some way of using that money towards a trade as well. I don't know specifics, so we're not going to go further on that. But to your point, it sounds like there's a lot more options than maybe we first initially thought.
It definitely perked my ears up because I was unaware of that as well. Like you said, he said now you can trade into the MLE. I'm, I guess assuming that means you can treat it as a TPE, but have to dive into it more and figure that out, I guess.
There are so many complex, it's
a nightmare.
It's so complex. There are things and avenues that most people, don't, aren't able to figure out until it happens. And I am by no means a salary cap or CBA expert. We try to go off and learn as we can, like a lot of you guys, but it sounds like the Kings have options. They're not completely, sitting there, with no recourse and upgrading the roster. There are moves they can make, and a lot of people in that room that are smarter than we are that can find the right equation to get some players in here.
There's a lot of ways to get creative, but Monty did not deny the fact that they have a max amount they can offer Malik Monk. And I think that stood out, you know, because I thought there was a chance where we'd get a little, you know, we can get creative here and try to offer him more. But he didn't say anything about it.
Yeah. My question is, what about incentives? Can it be like, is there any way you can make that an incentive-based deal? I'm not sure what is into that, because can't you make like if he plays 70 games, you add on an extra 500K or extra million or, you know, voting process and awards, like, you know, they're player of the week. Like,
that's not going to help.
Well, if you finish top five in six man of the year, maybe you get an extra 500. Right. I don't know. There are ways they can tack on extra money if they put in those, you know, threshold, those numbers you need to reach. But I don't know if you can or you can't, because I feel like that would have been floated already as a possibility.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a mess of a situation just in terms of, I mean, we can go back and forth all day. All of us can state our reasons for why we think Malik is going to stay or why he's going to go. But I've just been telling people, like, it's as simple as it can be. It truly is Malik's decision. Like, there's so many factors that you can vary and you can weigh. Oh, okay, familiarity versus situation versus all of it. We can all have our opinion on what you would personally do, but at the end of the day, it truly does come down to Malik, like he said in his exit interview, I could take more money and be in a worse situation, or he could take more money to be in a worse situation, or he could take less and continue to build this thing. But it's not something that I think any of us, Monty McNair, Mike Brown, there's nothing that anybody could have keyed us in on to where Malik's mind is at. And I don't even think he's on it. Do you guys think he's even thinking about this right now? Like, truly, do you think he's enjoying his time off? Because he doesn't have to make a decision for at least another month and some change.
He's probably already had, like, preliminary conversations, right? You know, and it's probably, yes, like, a waiting period.
That's probably
right
the better
now,
way. Of course, he's, you know, it's on his mind, but is he actively engaging in the process of figuring this out?
Also very funny how, and this is the case for every NBA offseason, how they're already talking to, I mean, I'm not,
absolutely,
this, not confirmed. I mean, I'm not throwing this
no,
out.
No, he's got
to
know.
Probably talking to other representatives. Or
he didn't say,
corners.
I could get more money. He said, I can get more money.
And that's why deals are struck like the minute free agency opens. And the NBA tries to get a hold of it with tampering and everything. But he has an idea already. Personally, though, he might get more money, but I'm not sure. I'm not 100% certain that Malik Monk is going to get a $100+ million contract offer.
I've been thinking about that
too. Are we 100% certain that a team out there is going to throw $100 million at Malik? You think so?
Well, no. I was going to say Bobby Marks made a good point in when we replayed that from the Drive guys, where he said, I mean, these teams that we're bringing up that do have some talent, like the Magic and guys like that, it's not just the D'Los of the world and the Klay Thompsons of the world. On top of that, it's, well, you like Malik Monk, but you would be saying goodbye to some of your guys that are also coming up for extensions. If you don't, what about Jalen Suggs? I mean, how much do you like Jalen Suggs? So there's more to go into it. So those are for the decent teams. So then if you remove the decent teams and now it's Malik
Detroit.
23 million to go to Detroit, or seven, or maybe not 23, but call it 20 to go to Detroit, or 17 to stay in Sacramento. Maybe that can change things. When we return, continuing the conversation, speaking of Malik, we let the guy sound off on the Sacramento snub. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. What was it, Simone? The city of snubs?
Yes, that's our snap, or our sack chat.
I'm talking to Tyga right now, trying to get Rack City remixed to Snub City.
Did he get back to you?
He left me on.
Tough to reach these days.
Yeah.
We know some people that might know him.
Yeah. He hasn't read it yet. It's still on scent. As we are joined by Brendan Nunes and Frankie Cardicelli, our Sacktown Sports Kings insiders. Guys, I'm just going to give you the floor. Chris and I said our piece. Just going to give you the floor on Malik Monk. And, you know, we tried to do a good job earlier on the show, because let's not act like it shouldn't have been close between Naz Reid and Malik Monk, but obviously we have feelings here in Sacramento. But the comparison between, hey, a good sixth man can become a starter when needed, that's the Naz Reid thing, or, oh, a sixth man, I mean, really is just that, a sixth man. And we've been in those rooms where we asked Mike Brown, I mean, we stopped about 20 games in once it was, he's not going to start. Let's stop talking about it. So we did. So I'm just going to give you the floor on Malik Monk being snubbed. Your initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
Frankie coming with his own sound.
I brought that out, like, I think on our pod like a year or two ago. I just thought about it for a second. No,
you like just download that app?
No, no. Chris and I used to do that when we recorded like years ago, and I think I would just pull that every once in a while. No, I think that I share the same sentiment a lot of people feel. I will say I was not surprised. I feel like you could kind of feel that pendulum swing towards Naz Reid the final week or so of the year. I think it was a perfect storm of just misfortune for Malik Monk and the Kings, who Malik, his final stretch before he got hurt, he was, I think his last 12 games, he was shooting around like 38% from the field, 20% from three. His turnover numbers were up. He lowered his three-point percentage alone from 37.5 to 35, or just under 35 over that final week and a half. It all kind of happened at once. And then as soon as he gets hurt, Naz Reid, who... Again, this is a polarizing part of the conversation. Does the fact that a sixth man can move up into the starting lineup and be a good starter add to the sixth man of the year conversation? Some voters think that it did. Some voters think that it didn't. I know that Sam Amick was on saying that there was a discussion happening among voters that they didn't all fully agree with. But while Malik Monk was out with an injury, Naz Reid was playing well as Minnesota survived without Karl Anthony Towns. And I think a lot of voters took note. The same way that the Kings... To be fair, on the Kings' end, a lot of voters last year took note of how good the Kings have been playing. When the Kings were a three seed and, hosting a playoff series, Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Scott Love in the awards, Mike Brown, Keegan Murray, who I think no matter what he
did. Monty McNair.
I mean, the Kings got a lot of love last year. That doesn't mean that Malik Monk wasn't deserving this year. I'm just looking at it as far as the reasoning why that I think a lot of voters, they just pay attention to the top teams. And the Kings this year... They won 46 games, but they were a ninth seed in the West. So you obviously aren't in the same spot as Minnesota, but disappointing, not surprising, but that's just the way the Kings, historically have been in award season.
I hate to be this guy, but I think that both guys can be deserving. And I think that the race was showing of that. It was as close as it gets in this voting. And it was really close to even being a tie, which I would have been curious how they would have gone about dealing with that. But
who's not in Sacramento? They win.
Right.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But also, like, the Kings ended as the 9 seed. The Timberwolves were fighting for 1 all year long. They were one of the darlings of the league this year. Naz played great. He only played like 17 games off the bench. Like, I feel like everybody's talking about.
You mean as a starter? Right. You mean as a starter?
Sorry, as a starter, I mean. I feel like everybody's talking about, like, oh, he's played like half the games as a starter or a quarter of the games. It's like, I don't know. It's not that many games. Average 12 coming off the bench, 17 as a starter. I think being able to fill into that role is part of it.
There you go. And only in Sacramento can you do a whole separate segment on snubs. Which snub was worse? Sabonis as an all-star or Malik Monk as a sixth man?
Both of which are because of Minnesota, too.
Yes.
Thank you, Kat.
I think Sabonis not making the all-star team really will be a ridiculous, just stupid thing we look back on like in 5 years. I mean, see his stat line from this year that the numbers aren't inflated. He played all 82 games. The shooting percentages were good, 59%. The 19, 13.5, 8. Like, he lead the league in triple-doubles, double-doubles. That, to me, is just it's insanely egregious that he was not selected as an all-star. Now, maybe he'll make All-NBA, and that'll make things a little better, but I'm not expecting that at all either. So I'm going to say Sabonis, but the fact that the voting was, 10 points, three first-place votes, the smallest discrepancy, I think, in voting totals in the history of the award is pretty insane to me for Malik Monk.
I guess it's Domas. This is where I want to go on a whole rant about how dumb it is that the all-star voting is done like halfway through the year. It makes no sense to me. I care way more about all NBA. I think Domas has a good chance. But I think in hindsight, it's going to be more of the Domas not making all-star. If you really look back on like what he accomplished this year, even though you vote on all-star way too early, but whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing I kind of want to talk about just for a second.
Go.
The NBA all-star game is pretty much a joke right now. The league's trying to find a way to make it relevant again. First of all, you should probably not have it at that time of the year. I think for now, they should just not have it in February. And it might just be like an end-of-year thing, kind of like how the NFL does the Pro Bowl.
Sure.
Maybe it's, you can if you play that kind of game like a layup line, like all-star game in April or mid-late April, I think it's a lot easier to watch than a hyped-up game in mid-February as the playoff races are about to begin, and you're just watching guys do layup lines for 2.5 hours. I think that makes much more sense to me. And also, you have a wider range of numbers that are more concrete, and guys have bad second halves or whatever. Like, it's weird looking at some of these guys that make All-Star teams and finish the year so poorly. in other sports, too, like baseball is the same way. How some guys like will be an all-star in July with like a 2.5 ERA, and then they finish year with a 4.3, but they have the star next to their name in Baseball Reference. Basketball is the same way. So I'm looking at it as nix the February game, make it like a Pro Bowl style type end of the year thing for players that are available, and just kind of go from there, because the All-Star game is just not great. From people that, from Chris and I who saw it in person,
it was not a great viewing experience.
Let them play like 21. You know, why can't we watch LeBron, Giannis, and KD play 21 against each other? Or King of the Hill
with all these guys. Knockout would be awesome.
Knockout would be hilarious.
You know, is it really that hard? Like, it's all these games that we all play at the park. You know, just have the best players in the world do it.
And you can like 21 or something.
It'd be awesome. Tournament.
And you can still have a dunk contest, because usually, most of the people that do the dunk contest are not, you know, core rotation or
invite
stars.
More G-Leaguers. Let's do it.
I don't know.
Mac McClung.
That's where I
Well, it's funny because during the summer, that's when you see a lot of these runs. What's that one, Chris? The one in New York where I've never seen anybody ever miss a shot? It's Summit.
Rutgers?
The Summit, the inside court that guys will play at. And no one ever misses it.
Off-season true. Off-season Mello when he was a free agent.
Yeah. Hoodie Mello.
Always there.
Hoodie Mello.
My
right.
goal is to get enough clout one day to just shoot around there. Yeah. I have to shoot around there. Guys, before we let you go, one thing I was looking at, I was trying to confirm after the Warriors won, because I was trying to figure out who is the last guy to not take as much money as he could have. And I remember after the Warriors won, they extended Wiggins, and a lot of people thought that after that run, that was a really good deal for the Warriors. And I was trying to confirm if he was still under contract or if he was a free agent and decided. It said contract extension, so I think what I believe happened is he did this extension and he would have been kind of like the Sabonis thing.
Probably
he would have been a free
agent
the next season. So it's a different situation, but that's off the top of my head. I'm just trying to think, okay, if we're thinking that Malik is going to take less money, who is the last guy in the NBA to purposely take less money to stay with his team? And the only guy I could come up with off the top of my head was Andrew Wiggins coming off a championship season.
Yeah. Clarkson just signed a 228. Last offseason, you know, I believe he won a sixth man of the year.
Yes,
if not
did.
Multiple.
One thing I think we never got clarity on, or we maybe will never know. Remember, Rashawn Holmes was in the same exact situation that Malik was in, where the Kings were capped what they could offer him. There probably wasn't any other bigger offer out there, was there? Did you ever hear anything about that?
That one was weird because his agent screwed that up, like, throughout the course of the regular season, throughout that debate. And so that's why he ended up letting go of his agent. And they thought that there was going to be more money out there, and I think they'd presented that to other teams that made them retract offers, and then all of a sudden there was nothing available.
Because it was the same thing, like, as far as the Kings were capped what they could offer him.
They traded for Tristan Thompson, they signed Alex Len thinking that he was gone, and then all of a sudden there were a bunch of centers.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, in closing, I think that I'm still skeptical that there's going to be an offer that's going to blow Sacramento out of the water, like 100. Yeah. I'm personally a little skeptical. That's not source. It's just a strict opinion. But I could be wrong. There could be a team out there that goes, Malik's the piece, and a team that's in a contention can throw $100 million at him. But I feel like it'll be more pressing matters to attend to for them, and maybe the Kings will be able to kind of sneak in there and keep him for $78 million.
If the six-man voting is any indication of how Malik is valued, and I know it's not apples to apples, that could say maybe we have purple lenses thinking, who wouldn't want this man, Malik? And then when you look at the rest of the league, they might be thinking Malik is not as high on everyone's list. And if you get to that 19-20, maybe that's enough for Malik to hang out at Hagen Oaks and stay in Sacramento. Thank you to Frankie Cardicelli and Brendan Nunes, Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders. When we return, continue with the conversation and back to some NFL draft talk. Who you want? Opening back up the phone line. Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We heard from the Sacktown Sports Kings Insiders on their biggest what if of the season. Now it's time for Chris, Simone, and myself to give ours. Real quick, Chris, some insane numbers coming out of I guess the big three from TMZ Sports, per TMZ Sports. It gets crazier with Caitlin Clark. I know you read off the shoe deals, but Ice Cube's Big Three lead reportedly offered Caitlin Clark over $15 million with a salary, team ownership, merchandise profits, and a documentary stake. The deal came with a $10 million salary over 2 years, a percentage of team ownership, half of merch revenue, and a stake in a Big Three dock with a seven-figure advance, totaling a minimum of $15
million. Wow.
I think I read that somebody, you know,
Tino Mobley must be upset somewhere. He's like, where is this? Where's my contract?
They're heated. But I would say, I was reading and a lot of people said, well, her Nike deal probably keeps her from signing this because Nike is trying to promote the WNBA and this could take away from it. So she probably won't be able to sign that, but she's not hurting. I know what did the number end up being?
It was for 8 year, $28 million, I think, or something like that.
Sorry to Ice Cube and good on him for trying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think she would be allowed to take.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did some more digging after we had initially talked about it, and I guess it is kind of like it's a really unique deal. From what I understand, it would be kind of an understanding that it's not a separate contract from, it's not a pick one or the other kind of deal, which might make it a little bit more enticing for her if she does want to reconsider. It would be like a, hey, you don't have a game on Saturday, could you squeeze in a Big Three game for us here kind of situation? Because it is kind of like I don't mean this to sound offensive if it does, but it's like a basketball circus in a way where it's just kind of town to town. And it's kind of a deal of, hey, Caitlin, if you can make it this weekend for us, that'd be great. Where she's almost, I guess it's more like a wrestler. She's kind of like an independent wrestler.
Right. It's also, right. It reminds me of high school when there was a guy who, He was flirting between JV and varsity, and he's really working with varsity, but for some reason, there's no varsity game, so he plays with JV just to get some reps in or something like that, or an injured player in the minors working their way back. So, hey, you can catch them at the River Cats before they go join the Giants. No disrespect to the Big Three, but I think
It is what it is.
Ice Cube doesn't care. He's just chasing the money. Before we get to our what ifs, let's hear from Ashley, who wants to be part of the conversation. 916-339-1140. What's up, Ashley? What you got for us?
Hey, so I was watching over on the YouTube earlier, and so like I was calling in kind of regarding the Kings, and for one, also like an appropriate nickname. I was liking Snubtown, except I was thinking, you know, it'd be nice if we could call this a one Snubtown, but unfortunately it's more like a three Snubtown.
Yes.
Because we got Monk, Domas, and Fox, who all in their own way were snubbed this season in one way or another. So I'm kind of going on Snubtown. I like that. But honestly, I kind of like what you guys were saying in regards of Monk. I think that there is a chance that we could still retain him. I think it is going to be difficult, obviously, to retain him because I think that he's someone who's going to be valued. But the way that the sixth man went down, I think that it almost helps us in a way. From one, because Monk is a competitor, and I think that might mean that he might feel like there's more unfinished business here in Sacramento. But two, also, not only that, I feel like it's shown that he's not as valued as we thought he was around the league.
Yeah. No, thanks for the call, Ashley. And I would be curious how most six men feel, right? Nas Reed, now that you've won this award, and we talked about this when we thought Malik was going to win it, do you graduate from being a six man, or is that – this has just proved that this is what you were meant to be, because Nas Reed, unless they move off of Karl Anthony Towns, that's kind of a logjam situation now. Right. But unless they do move off of Karl Anthony Towns, Nas Reed will continue to come off the bench. You want to hear a really interesting number, Chris, and I just looked this up because I was curious about it. Nas Reed, and he was a baller even before this season. Nas Reed, he signed going into this season, he signed a 3-year $41.9 million deal, which if you do the math, Nas Reed made $13 million this season.
Yeah.
Next season he'll make $14 million. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how, just to kind of maybe make you feel better about, and I don't know what his market is compared to Malik Monk, But just to maybe make Kings fans feel better, anything is possible. He's got a player option not even until 2025, 2026 after that season. So I don't know how the T-Wolves pulled that off.
Yeah, there was a lot of mystery that went on with those negotiations because a lot of people felt like Nas could have made more money. He didn't really explore the free agency as much as a lot of people thought he would because, a lot of people in Sacramento thought he would have been a good target for them to go after. And I don't know if those situations are – like if I wouldn't want Kings fans to look at that contract and say, then that's maybe a sign that Malik – isn't going to get that much of a contract because I just think Malik's in a bit of a different situation where he's 26 years old, he is a guard, and he's somebody who I think not only views himself as more than the role he has, but I think the team that would sign him wouldn't be signing him with the intention of bringing him off the bench. They would sign him saying, we're going to pay you like a starter, which is $20-plus million. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a little bit of a different situation, but at the same time, I guess you could just say, the market for those for six men, if the Kings are to look to replace Malik, maybe is a good market because Jordan Clarkson is making $14 million. Nas is
24 years
mil.
Old.
He's a really really young guy. He's just not somebody that I think people thought could be a starter, and I think that's why he didn't get the money he got. Malik is also the best young guard in this free agency class. The other guys are. You know, guys like Clay, guys like D'Angelo Russell, and guys
that's
like
really the
James
only
Harden. So if you're looking for a guy that you can truly build with and add to your core, Malik is really the only guy that fits that specific mold, which is why he might get $22-plus million
right.
per year.
I mean, off the top of our heads, I think the only one that somebody would argue as far as the guard position – well, I guess there's two. It's – who's ranked higher on everyone's wish list? And Clay put up a stinker. Meanwhile, Malik wasn't playing. D'Angelo Russell, Malik Monk, or Clay Thompson? And we don't know.
Yeah.
We simply do not know.
But then there's also the Grayson Allen contract that just got signed, the 4 years 70, which puts him right at 17 and a half, which is around pretty much the Kings contract. And so if you're Malik, it's like, I feel like I'm better than Grayson Allen, and so I should be getting paid more.
I'm starting
than
to talk
Allen,
myself into
what the
it.
Market is.
I'm starting to talk myself into it, Chris. But we will see how this whole thing unfolds when we return. Biggest what if on the season? Let's hear from you. 916-339-1140. You hear from myself, Chris Watkins, and Simone Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. What if? So many what ifs. Let's make this a little bit more interesting.
Okay.
You cannot say, and this is off the top of my head, I haven't even really thought about it. You cannot say, what if Malik Monk doesn't get hurt?
Okay.
That one has to get eliminated.
Because that just would be everybody's answer, I assume.
Yes.
Like if,
exactly. The 925 is saying, what if Fox hit some buzzer beaters and we made more free throws? They're saying that in the voice of Mike Brown.
Yeah, I was like, Mike Brown already...
It could be a specific game, 916-339-1140. All guessing callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. It can be one specific game that you think could have turned the tide. It could be anything besides what if Malik Monk. You can still do Kevin Huerter, but Malik Monk, I just feel like everybody is going to defer to that. So anything but that. Who is ready to go?
I'll go.
All right.
I would say my biggest what if slash like the thing that I think could have gotten the Kings the most amount of wins if it happened is if Keegan and Kevin, I guess I can say and or Kevin, shot 40% from three this year. Just because I feel like the shooting inconsistency led so much to other like snowball effect things happening, the defense slipping, confidence falling off. I think just general game-to-game inconsistency. If you had Kevin Huerter shooting at a 40% clip and was hitting five or taking 5 to 7 threes a game and you could just expect him to hit 2 to 4 every game, like I just wonder how much better the season goes and how much more consistent this team plays. Definitely how we view Kevin Huerter, I think, would be different in terms of a value conversation. And ultimately, where in the standings would they have been if they just had consistent shooting all year long? I think that definitely, on top of Mike Brown's what if of free throws and all that stuff and De'Aaron game winners, like I definitely think that if Kevin Huerter and I'll throw Keegan in there, like I said, if Keegan shot 40% like he did last season, I just think a lot of things look a lot better and probably lead to a little bit less frustration.
Are you okay with, if that's the case, and let's lean more Kevin Huerter here.
Sure.
Are you okay with if Kevin Huerter has a season closer to last season, which was a career year for him, mm-hmm. are you okay with if Kevin Huerter does shoot the ball better, him probably staying on the Kings again? Because that makes that very possible.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think if Kevin Huerter replicated the season he had last year, I don't even think we would even consider moving on from him. Mm-hmm. I think we would just say, oh, what a perfect fit that. Maybe on the defensive end.
Yeah.
Maybe you would still have questions about if he's too limited mm-hmm. in that position. But I think if you score 15 points a game, which is what he did last year, or I guess, yeah, we can still say last season, and shot near 40%, I think that we gloss over everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one for sure.
Brilliant.
Simone?
I, like Mike, ask, what if the Kings made all of their free throws?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
What if?
Should we hear from Coach Brown?
Let's hear what he had to say.
One of my guys brought up the fact that if we shot the ball at the same rate from the free throw line as we did last year, which wasn't extraordinary, it was more than doable, we would have finished 7th in offensive rating instead of 13th.
Right. So 7th, you figure, I mean, if we try to do that to win share,
right.
you got to add at least 2 more. I really want to add about 4 more wins, but... Yeah. I'll be safe and say you had 2 more wins.
Yeah.
And that, what, 2 more gets you the 6th seed?
2 more would get you, we had 46.
And you make more
against
free throws.
Against the right people, too.
Right. Yeah. You make more
free throws. Yeah, right. That's right. A great point.
You make more
right
free
teams.
Throws. Malik doesn't get hurt. He wins 6th man.
It could be literally as simple. As crazy as it is, and I know every, like, elementary school coach always says it, but, like, free throws are free, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're the easiest things that you're going to do on the floor. And, you know, if you can't capitalize on them, there's no one else to blame but yourself mm-hmm. on those. And that's the thing that makes that so tough is just the self-inflicted wounds.
Nicely done, Simone. I'm stuck between 2, and I'm taking it to more of a literal sense.
Okay.
But both of you, I like where you've
hypothetical,
gone.
Literal.
Hypothetical, literal. Okay.
Yeah,
and I'm stuck between 2. The first one is at the end of the season, based on how things played out. What if they beat the Suns? Because if we're not mistaken, I remember having this conversation with you, Chris. Mm. If they beat the Suns, isn't mm-hmm. it possible because of the Pelicans imploding, they would have been
right.
the 6th seed?
Yes.
We
I
had that conversation,
correct.
So
I
they wouldn't have even
correct.
Been in the play-in. So what if they beat the Suns? I'm torn between that.
Yes.
Because I think that the Timberwolves, the way they're playing now, probably would have hit.
Yeah.
Probably would have hit the Kings. And I'm torn between that, and I'm torn between the most obvious one. And maybe I'm listening to TC too much. I'm torn by the obvious one. What if
Check
they beat?
Out.
What if they beat the Pelicans? That one. The only reason I'm torn
in the play-in game.
In the play-in game, mm-hmm. yeah, ever.
Yeah.
In the play-in game,
like,
yeah.
like, you have to just, be more specific.
I'm torn between the what if on the Suns. I do think that the Timberwolves probably would have gave it to the Kings. They're rolling right now,
yeah.
and I know regular season it's just a different beast.
Sure.
Anthony Edwards, Ugh. That's a problem. If they beat the Pelicans, you're out of the play-in, mm-hmm. and you do have OKC who has looked good. The Pelicans haven't beat them once.
I think Sunday was a game where the Kings could have, like, that game one.
That
like,
game one.
It felt like
yes.
they were open.
That game
open
one.
Be,
so if you're yeah. making me choose, I think looking at how the Timberwolves look right now, I would say what if the Kings yeah. were able to come out, beat the Pelicans,
sure.
as everybody, including those in New Orleans, thought, according to Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross, people that were in the building. What if they were able to simply beat the Pelicans, get into
right.
the dance, and maybe get that momentum? This
yep.
was the first year, if I'm not mistaken, that a 9 seed didn't make it out. And, of course, it's when the Kings were the 9 seed.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's – you know, yeah, just in terms of, too, just like how people would have felt, like what would have been actually the difference between them being eliminated right before they get into the playoffs versus them making a first-round series, and who knows, like, you know, if you're TC, maybe you think they make some noise and win that first round, or even if they lose the first round in a
I think Mike Brown gets that extension.
Game. Yeah. Would we even have heard, you know, all these stories that have been released since the Kings season's over? Yeah. Do we even know that Mike Brown's extension isn't like, does that article come out? And do we even know that there is, I don't know if tension's the right word, but some sort of friction between, you know, that deal coming together? It's definitely an interesting what if for sure, because I do think there is just a hard line difference of not making the playoffs versus you still made the playoffs, even if it was as an 8 seed and you got swept. I do think in a weird way there is still a difference. And to your point, like maybe that negotiation isn't even thought about. It's just like, yeah, absolutely. You make the playoffs back-to-back years. That's all we want.
Exactly.
Yeah. What if that fan never threw that chicken wing? What if?
Which game was that? Was that the Suns?
I believe that was the Suns.
That was the Suns game, yeah.
It's a chicken wing.
Yeah.
You don't throw the chicken wing.
Right.
And that was after the L, pretty much. Yeah. The game was over by then.
Yeah, it was decided. We wouldn't have that great soundbite, that's for sure.
You know, it's another, you know, it's another what if is, what if the Kings won? The same thing would get them in the 6 seed, right? Because I don't know if the Kings are beating the Mavs. Well, now the Mavs have come back to earth a little bit, or the Clippers are just... That series is tied now because of Luka. Mm-hmm. So that series is tied. I don't know if the Kings are beating the Mavs in a 7-game series without Malik. And I don't know if they're beating the Clippers. But if you did take away 3 stinkers, right, yeah, and you get the Kings to the 5 seed,
sure.
I don't know, man. Without Malik, I think it was always going to be tough. Right. I think the reason people look at the Thunder is you have Shea as the MVP, you know, an MVP favorite along with Jokic, but the other teams, when you go down the list, I mean, the Nuggets, you don't want any part of that. You don't want any part of the Clippers, who Kawhi is. You never know when Kawhi is going to play, yeah, but you got Paul George, and that's just a matchup nightmare. It was either the T-Wolves or the Thunder, so yeah, whatever would have landed you in that spot.
I've got two more what ifs for you.
What's Are you seeing the Sat Chat, Chris?
No.
Oh, okay. You have your own organic ones on the Sat Chat. Really quick, Jess says, "What if Baby Styles won the baby race?"
Wow, that's funny, Jess. That's real funny. I'll tell you what, Jess.
I don't know if anything changes.
I think the Kings win the whole thing. I think the Kings win the whole thing.
It would have sparked some confidence in them. They would have been inspired by the rally.
It would have, and I'll tell you this much. She can't do it anymore because she's walking now.
That's right.
But if there is a baby
too advanced
walking race, running race,
it's over.
Just cap it at
it's over.
Cap it at what? A year and a half? All right. Two years
I'm
old.
Not sure.
We're back in there.
I believe in it.
You know, I'm looking around at some of these other babies, and I do think Baby Styles was a little younger in her crawling days. I'm not making excuses. Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm just like the rest of the this is my, you want me to do an exit interview, all right? I'm not answering any questions.
Two more what ifs.
Yes.
What if an offseason move had paid off? Just one of them. What if Sasha was the guy that we thought he was going to be? What if Chris Duarte would have ended up being a piece that I think we can kind of see if you squint your eyes a little bit? And then my second one is, what if the Kings just didn't blow all of those stupid games? What if they didn't lose to Detroit? What if they didn't lose to Toronto? Or, I'm sorry, not Toronto, Portland. What if they didn't lose to Charlotte? What if they didn't lose to Washington?
Houston.
What if they didn't lose to Houston twice? Yeah. What if they didn't lose to the Pacers? What if they didn't lose to the Bulls? What if they didn't lose to Miami when they didn't have Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero? That's just off the top of my head. There's 8 games that
I mean,
just listed.
They're probably the 3 seed again.
They could be the 3 seed, and are they still playing in the play? Like, what changes? And, you know, yeah, those are – that's why you don't live in what-if-ville.
Yeah, 916.
It's going to drive you crazy.
It was the Pelicans, not the Suns. They threw the chicken at Zion.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that's true.
I'm going to confirm that. You guys are a mess, and I appreciate you.
When we return, are you moving off of Debo, Ayuk, or staying where you're at? And we continue the NFL draft conversation, then getting back into some Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sackdown.